In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, glory to Jesus Christ. We are approaching the part of the preparatory period for a great and holy Lent, and we've heard about the messages that have been given to us from with regard to the Sunday of Zacchaeus, where we talk about the desire to go see Christ and to seek the kingdom of God. And we've heard about the publican and the Pharisee, where the message there was a message of repentance. And the message of the prodigal son, which is the idea of returning back to the Father, returning from the place of exile. And all of these ideas and themes are leading us up to prepare us for what is coming in the beginning of Great and Holy Lent. And now we are approaching the next preparatory Sunday, and this is the Sunday that is reserved by the Church for a remembrance of the Last Judgment. And this is perhaps one of the most difficult and kind of terrifying parts of our faith that we have to think about, because this is the part that we don't necessarily want to look at. But this is the part that is called forth in the part of the symbol of faith, the creed of the Church that we recite and at every liturgy, and we should be reciting daily, the part of the symbol of faith where we say, He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. This is the idea of the Last Judgment, the idea that there is an end to all of this. Even as we are seeking God, even as we are returning back to God, even as we are turning our hearts to Him in repentance, even as we are beginning that process of metanoia, of literally turning our hearts to Him, understanding that we are in exile and we are seeking to return to the Father, that there is an end point to our lives, and there's an end point to all things. And there is a point at which we as Christians believe that there will be a judgment, there will be an adjudication of all that has come before. As Father Tom Hopko has reminded us, we are saved not merely by prayer and fasting, not by religious exercises alone. We are saved by serving Christ through His people, he says, the goal toward which all piety and prayer is ultimately directed. And so with this in mind, let us recall the gospel reading that is prescribed for the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And this is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Let us be attentive. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I will say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So this is the very disturbing and somewhat challenging and difficult message that we are given by our Lord. And this is what the Church prescribes for the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And it is doing it for a reason, because this is giving us the prescription or the formula, the final understanding of what it is, what it means for this judgment to occur and what is expected of us. And to help us understand this, we should turn, and we may turn, in fact, to St. Theophylact, who was the Archbishop of Ohrid. And this was about the 1055 or so until the 1100s, essentially. And he has a short commentary on this particular passage, specifically to the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And this is very important for us to understand, because it helps us understand what the Lord is intending, what the meaning behind this is in terms of our own salvation, our own judgment, and what is expected of us. In terms of the first part of the reading, when the Son of Man shall come with glory, and all the holy angels are with him, and he will sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, etc. For this first part, St. Theophylact writes, Since the first coming of the Lord was not with glory, but with dishonor and indignity, he says, when he shall come in his glory. For at the second coming he will come with glory, escorted by angels. First he will divide the saints from the sinners, delivering them from tribulations, and set them on his right, and then speak to them. He calls the saints sheep on account of their gentleness, and because they yield fruit and useful things for us, as do sheep, providing wool, which is divine and spiritual protection, and milk, which is sustenance that is needed. The goats are the sinners, for they walk along the precipices and are unruly and fruitless. Then we move to the next part of the gospel reading, where our Lord is saying, then the king shall say unto them, on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, for I was hungry and you fed me, etc. Here St. Theophylact says, he does not give honor or punishment until he has first judged, for he loves mankind and teaches us to do the same as well, not to punish until we have made careful examination. In this way, those who are punished after the judgment will have no cause for complaint. He calls the saints blessed, as they have been accepted by the Father. He considers them to be inheritors of the kingdom to show that God makes them participants in his own glory as his sons. For he did not say receive, but rather inherit, as a man would say of his father's estate. By the least brethren, he means either his own disciples or simply all the poor. For every poor man is Christ's brother, for the very reason that Christ, too, spent his life in poverty. See also God's righteousness, how he acclaims the saints, and see the good disposition of their mind, how they deny, with befitting modesty, that they have cared for him. But the Lord accepts us for himself, the things that were done for the poor. Then, in the part of the gospel reading where the Lord says, he shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, etc. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat, etc. In terms of this part, St. Theophylact writes, he sends those on the left into the fire which had been prepared for the devil. For as the demons are without compassion and are cruelly and maliciously disposed towards us, it is fitting that those who are of like mind with them and who have been cursed by their own deeds should merit the same punishment. See that God did not prepare the fire for men, nor did he make hell for us, but for the devil. And this part is important. I make myself liable to hell. I'm going to repeat this because this is important. I make myself liable to hell. St. Theophylact continues, indeed, if you consider things well, the robber is he who has much and does not give alms, even if he has no obvious injury. For whatever he has in excess of his needs, he has stolen from those who are in need and who have not received anything from him. If he had shared these things with them, they would not be in need. Now he has locked these things up and kept them for himself, and for this very reason they are in need. So he who does not give alms is a robber, doing injustice to all those whom he could have helped, but did not. And for this reason, he, like those and those like him, shall go away into eternal punishment which never ends, but the righteous shall enter into eternal life. St. Theophylact concludes with the following. You then, O reader, flee from this absence of compassion, and practice almsgiving, both tangible and spiritual. Feed Christ, who hungers for our salvation. If you give food and drink to him who hungers and thirsts for teaching, you have given food and drink to Christ. For within the Christian there is Christ, and faith is nourished and increased by teaching. If you should see someone who has become a stranger to his heavenly fatherland, take him in with you. And while you yourself are entering into the heavens, lead him in as well, lest while you preach to others, you yourself be rejected. If a man should cast off the garment of incorruption, which he had in his baptism, rendering him naked, clothe him. And if one should be infirm in faith, as St. Paul says, help him, and visit him who is shut up in the dark prison of his body, and give him counsel, which is a light to him. Perform, then, all these six types of love, both bodily and also spiritually, for we consist of both soul and body, and these acts of love are to be accomplished by both. So here St. Theophylact of Alcreid is giving us a reading or an understanding of this gospel passage, which talks about the last judgment, and he puts it in very specific terms. And there's a reason why in the logic of the church that this particular teaching of our Lord is given to us on this particular Sunday, which is to say of all the ways in which we manifest our faith, of all the ways in which we attempt to be friends to Christ. Of all the ways in which we attempt to walk in our faith, of these, the most specific things we do are those things we do to the least of these, our brethren. Why? Because they are made in the image and likeness of God. And St. Theophylact is reminding us that the Lord's intent here is to remind us that that which we did to the least of these, the brethren, we did it to the Lord, and therefore it is necessary for us and for our salvation when we to have an acceptable defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ, to have rendered service and love and compassion and support to those who are most in need. And if we do not do that, if we withhold those things from them, then we are in fact what St. Theophylact calls robbers. We are holding it up for ourselves, and we will be judged accordingly. With this in mind, we should turn to another thing too, which is that we are reminded of the icon of the Last Judgment, which is a very graphic depiction of sort of what in the mind of the church is what we can come to expect based upon the readings of the Holy Gospel. And in this, we would do well to turn to a fairly recent iconographer by the name of Fotis Kontoglou. He was actually born Fotis Apostolelis. And he was a Greek writer and a painter and an icon writer. But he was also a writer in addition to being an iconographer. And he wrote a short story called Barba Manolis, the King. And at the end of this story, there's one last paragraph. And I'm going to read this paragraph to you because this is metaphorical, but it's referring to what the contents of the icon actually are. Fotis Kontoglou, which is the pen name again for Fotis Apostolelis, writes the following. The old painters who painted the Second Coming depicted Christ in heaven sitting on his throne in order to judge the world, and on opposite sides of him sat the 12 apostles. From the footstool of the throne comes the river of fire in which the sinners burned and were swallowed up by the dragons at the bottom. The archangels call out with their trumpets, and the terrified dead come out of their tombs. One angel wraps up the sky like it was paper, another weighs souls. The winds are blowing angrily on all four corners of the universe, beasts and monsters devouring human heads, hands, and feet, demons are grinding their teeth. All of creation is shaking at its foundations. Souls tremble like dry leaves, which are taken away by a blizzard. The sun has become dark and gloomy, and the moon is extinguished. Fear and terror sweep across the universe. Only one man is not troubled, an old man, humble and quiet, who walks slowly with his staff in the midst of the world's catastrophes and boldly walks toward the throne of Christ. According to the inscription on the icon, this is the least, that is, the most insignificant and despised of the world. That, again, is the excerpt from the end of a short story based upon the depiction in the traditional icons of the Second Coming of Christ, of a man who's called the least, Elekistos. The idea is that he enters into paradise ahead of all of this chaos that is occurring. And so this gives to us an image of what, sort of a rather graphic image of what this looks like. It has spiritual meaning to us, of course, because it's giving us an example of who is it that is going to be the first to enter the kingdom of heaven, and is literally the least among us. And in the midst of this very terrifying icon, this very terrifying depiction that the church gives to us of the Last Judgment, and of the Second Coming that occurs, we have this image of who it is that actually will enter the kingdom of God. So with this in mind, let us return back to that last closing paragraph from St. Theophylact. Let us indeed flee from this absence of compassion and practice almsgiving, both tangible and spiritual. Feed Christ who hungers for our salvation. If you give food and drink to him who hungers and thirsts for his teaching, you have given food and drink to Christ. For within the Christian there is Christ, and faith is nourished and increased by teaching. If you should see someone who has become a stranger to his heavenly fatherland, take him in with you. While you yourself are entering into the heavens, lead him in as well, lest while you preach to others, you yourself be rejected. If a man should cast off the garment of incorruption which he had at his baptism, rendering him naked, clothe him. And if one should be infirm in his faith, as Paul says, help him. And visit him who is shut up in the dark prison of his body, and give him counsel which is a light to him, Perform then all these six types of love, both bodily and also spiritually, for we consist of both soul and body, and these acts of love are to be accomplished by both. So, this is the formula, brothers and sisters. We have before us the work that we need to do personally in terms of our desire to meet Christ, to seek Him, to turn back to Him, to turn to Him in repentance, to practice humility, to understand that we are in a place of exile and we are need to come back to the house of the Father. But we also need to be cognizant of an article of our faith that says there will come a time when the Lord will come with glory to judge the living and the dead. And this judgment is not theoretical, but is based very much on our actions. And St. Theophylact gives us this wonderful understanding based upon this gospel reading that, in fact, this is the ministry that we carry out to our brothers and sisters, the least of these our brethren. And it is carried out in terms of taking care of them both in soul and body, both tending to their material needs. We give of what we have, we are given stewards of unto their material needs, but also to their spiritual needs as well, taking care of the soul as well as the body, because in fact we consist of both, he says, and these acts of love are to be accomplished by both. And to do all of these things with humility, remembering that is the least of these, my brethren, the least of these, that will be the first to enter the kingdom of God. And with this understanding, brothers and sisters, let us then prepare to make our final steps toward the beginning of great and holy Lent, that we might learn humility and practice those virtues that draw us closer to God the Father, to whom is due all glory, honor, and worship, together with his unoriginate Son and his all-holy good and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and into the ages of ages. Amen. God bless you all.